Something that's been discussed a lot this week, so I'm going to bring it up on this podcast and everyone can hear our points of view. Does he get anywhere near to Paul Biedermann's record?
If you're going, let's say you go 50.00 on the first 100, which is rapid as it is already, that means you've got to come back in a 52.00 just to equal the world record, not break it. That's to equal it. Those splits, yes, okay, maybe 50.00 is makeable on the first 100, but a 52 flat on the way back, I'm not going to say impossible because, you know, things happen. So it's not impossible, but it's a very tough ask to come back really in a 52 tough. Flat or 51.9 to come back in that. I mean, I said in a review, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Popovich, but geez, that's tough, really hard.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me yet again is my good friend, Dan. And on this week's show, we are going to be talking about the World Championships from Budapest 2022.
Yeah, what a week of racing we just had. There were some results I honestly would not have believed unless I actually witnessed them. Some truly outstanding swims, which leaves us so much to talk about on this review as we look at the championships as a whole.
Yes. Now, before we get into basically talking through day by day, our picks of the meet, whether that's British swimmers or international swimmers or just races of the meet, I do want to give a massive shout out to everyone who has been following this podcast over the last few months. We've had an influx recently of reviews on Apple Podcasts. They've been 5 stars, which is awesome. And we've also had loads of support over on YouTube as well. I think in the past 2 weeks we've had over 1,000 more subscribers on there, which is brilliant to see as we ramp up our coverage for the Commonwealth Games later on this summer.
Yeah, it's weird how we looked at that this meet of the worlds as a sort of like a trial run, didn't we, for the Commonwealth Games? That was the way we described it. But actually, I think, to be honest with you, I think you did a good job with the recap. We've got reviews of some of the races coming up or actually live right now as well. So, I think we've done quite well this week, and actually we're going to try and keep the momentum going leading up into the summer.
Yeah, just a thank you, basically, for everyone's ongoing support. We really do appreciate it here. We are just a two-man band who do this in our spare time away from 9-to-5 jobs. So any support we get is really, really appreciative.
It is, yeah.
Dan, then, you said top quality racing. So let's talk about it. We are a British podcast. So I am going to start off with talking about the British team. Now, if we have international listeners, you can check out the chapters on YouTube and just skip ahead for this bit if you don't want to hear it. But Team GB, it was a solid meet for them. I'm going to say solid because it wasn't outstanding like Tokyo, where we came away with 8 medals, only 5 this time. However, we had the most 4th place finishes out of any country at these championships with 6. So there's room for improvement, and there are medals on the way in what was a reset meet in a reset year.
Yeah, well, actually, when you think about it, we got 5 medals. Out of swimmers that didn't involve Adam Peaty, didn't involve Duncan Scott, who are our 2 biggest medal winners from Tokyo. And actually, if you add those net medals in, because I'm sure Adam would have won the 50 and 100 breaststroke, and he would have helped the mixed relays, of course, and Duncan would have done pretty well in the IMs, I'm sure. Yeah. We could have potentially got double figure medals if both of those guys were in. Kathleen Dawson was a big miss as well. So, you know, I actually think, solid. I actually think we did better than solid. I think we did really, really good job. I honestly do. I love the fact that Ben Proud got his gold as well. I'm really happy about that. I did a poll on Twitter saying, we might be a little bit biased today, but what was your race of the meet, race of that day? And yeah, hands down, Ben Proud. I mean, it wasn't even like slow. 21.3 is quick.
That is good.
So I'm glad he put the disappointment of Tokyo behind him. But there were many, many good swims, actually. And I think it was better than solid. I think it was really, really good.
Yeah, there were a few standout swimmers for me for the British team, especially looking ahead to the summer. Mehdi Harris. We had her on the podcast. She was a little bit nervous going into Worlds, but boy, did she knock it out of the park. She seemed to swim at least like twice every day. Yeah. I think that was a prearranged tactic. Get Mehdi in the water as much as possible. Get these nerves out of her system and don't let her think. And it paid off. She made finals.
A little bit similar to Abby Wood, actually, at ISL. because she overthinks things, or she used to anyway, back when she first started. And I think Mehdi has got that same sort of mindset at the moment, where she is a backstroker, Mehdi, but actually you saw her in every freestyle relay, just to get her in the water.
They put her on it in day one, and I think that helped her 100 back and her 50 back later on in the meet.
I agree. It's just to get the butterflies out of the system and get them in the water. If there's any sort of nerves or rustiness or anything like that, get that out the way, cobwebs, get that out of the way. Mm. And hopefully that leads into good results later on, which it was. The 100 back stroke was very good. Even the 50 back as well. I know she had to go through a swim off, but you know, making a world final at your first go is that's an achievement. That really is.
Elsewhere, standout swims. You've already said Ben Proud. Impressive, the only gold medal of the team. He actually messed up the 50 fly earlier on in the week, where he went in fastest qualifier, ended up in seventh, and well and truly put that one behind him. Lewis Burras has a very impressive first international meet or senior international meet for Team GB. Very excited to see his future. And then another relay member, Tom Dean. I think Tom Dean was everywhere. Essentially, in all of the relays, he had a busy program. And for me, he was almost like the quiet leader of the team.
Yeah, I actually think he would, if you were to rank them on best GB performances or swimmers of the meet, I think Tom Dean would probably have to be your number one. With Burras being quite close, because that British record on 100 freestyle, that kind of quietly went under the radar just because, you know, just because other swimmers were taking the forefront, like Popovich, for example, who we've had to now get his name right because, you know, he actually we'll talk about that. But I've actually quietly impressed with Lewis Burras, both in the 50 and the 100. And the relays, of course. Again, first go at Worlds, and he's done a really good job. There are a few that were slightly off the pace. It might be because of Tokyo being last year. Jimmy, I thought, was good, but not at his absolute very best. James Wilby, even though these guys medaled in their relays, he's just missing that little bit. He needs to work on his underwaters, because his swim speed is perfectly fine. Probably one of the fastest in the water, to be honest with you. But if he can nail these starts and turns, he's a real podium threat every single time.
Freya was close
slightly
on a few.
Off the pace. Yeah, she got fourth. How many times? Twice in
one
day.
She got twice
actually.
In one day, yeah.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. Really, really unfortunate. But I think in general, Joe Litchfield, I thought, did really well in the 4x2.
Yeah.
Jacob Whittle, need to mention his name. He now, because he got that experience in 200, which I thought he could always do, and he went a 146 in that relay split, that now opens the door for him to be a relay swimmer at Paris, for example, to give a rest for Duncan or Tom, and then we can push the world record potentially, you know? I think, I do think it was a really good meet from all of them.
In what was quite a quiet media week, we weren't getting the headlines written about them at all, if I'm honest. Yeah. It was good progress. It was really good progress. Yeah. And I'm going to end it with two GB swimmers who I think extremely exciting for the next few years. And that's Luke Greenbank and Brody Williams in the 200 meters backstroke.
Yeah.
Both of them now are podium potential. Luke's already there. Now he's got Brody with him. It could be the strongest event for GB on the program.
Quite possibly, and actually it bodes well if he's able to come down to the 100 as well. It's a bit more challenge for that medley relay to try and push America. I mean, it's a little bit short for both of them, actually. They are both better suited to a 200. Who was missing in that backstroke? Rylov, I suppose. He was the Olympic champion, but he didn't obviously go.
He shouldn't be swimming again.
Well, yeah, that's another debate for another time. But Brody was super impressive. We kind of left the backstrokers till last because actually they were super strong, actually.
Really good. Really good.
Yeah, really, really good. The underwaters were very good.
Oh, and just the whole field. Watch that race back and it was just incredible.
Yeah, Ryan Murphy was on it this week, wasn't it? He was really good. So it was always going to be difficult to beat him. But actually the GB guys really did push him all the way. And so credit to those guys.
Yeah, so essentially the summary line is solid, promising, very exciting for the next Olympic cycle.
Yes, definitely. I agree with
okay.
you.
Okay, swimmers of the meet then, and there are absolutely loads of them. And most of these are teenagers. That's the scary thing. That is the really scary thing right now. The world of swimming is a very exciting place. So before we go day by day, we're going to give a little roundup of each day, our standout races. Obviously, I did the summaries on YouTube each day, but we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive into things. We're going to kick things off with, Dan, let's try and list five males and five females that really, really stood out. because we need 10. We need two hands.
We might as well. So five men, five women. In no particular order.
No. We're not rankings. What gender do you want to take?
I'll go for males because I think that's maybe slightly easier. I'm not really sure. I'm going to go with Palchinari. That race stands out in my mind. Like, I think it will do for a long, long time, the way he attacked that race. I think the 800 wasn't as good because you can't be level with Bobby Fink because you know he's going to take you on the last 50. And the fact that he just decides to just go for it. World record pace the whole way through, apart from the world record that caused him in the last 100, of course.
Last 100 from Sun Yang's just...
ridiculous. Absolutely madly. But Palchinari definitely, for me, has to be a top five swimmer. There was a couple of world records, of course. Second and 100 backstroke. Milak has to be mentioned in the 200 fly, always. And then the top, I think, the top two are kind of...
They're head and shoulders.
Do you reckon?
They are. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, well, I think Milak has to be in there. Let's go for a top three, a definite top three. Then Milak is in that top three. Again, we're not ranking. Leon Machard in that 400 IM, which I think I'm not alone here, but I thought that Phelps world record was untouchable. And he got point four? That was just a mind-boggling. I can't believe he got that. I mean, the splits, we'll go into the day-by-day later on, but the splits were absolutely out of this world. And then, of course, you've got David Popovich, who was just blowing everyone out of the field, the 203 especially, just absolutely fantastic. But I'm sure there's more swimmers, but they've got to be the top five in my head anyway.
In your head? I mean, I think there's loads. It was what we thought was going to be a very quiet world turned out to be a very on fire world. Say David Popovich. We have been corrected. He was on the Brett Hawke podcast, and that is how you pronounce his name, not Popovici as it looks. So from now on, Popovich. We and everyone else, Popovich.
Popovich. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
I'll take the women then. So before I get into the five, I want to give a shout out to Ruta Militite. Massive comeback to the international level. Gets on top of the podium after God knows how long out of the pool. I think it was like 4 years. 5 years, something like that.
I just don't know how she's done that. She came away with a gold and a bronze, which is just absolutely just amazing. Just hats off to her.
Hats off. But standout swimmers then. Like we said, this is full of teenagers. I'll start off with the two golden oldies, the two record breakers of the week, really. Sarah Sjöström and Katie Ledecky. Both of them, again, supreme. There's just no slowing these guys down. And long may they continue swimming. Swimming would be far worse without both of them.
Oh, they would. I mean, I was reading articles and it said Katie Ledecky, 25. And I'm like, what? 25? She's only just started. It's crazy. And she's been around since she was, 15?
It's 11 years now. It's 11 years.
Yeah, wow. Years. That's just awesome. Just awesome. And she's going to keep going. She's just moved to Florida as well. So, I mean, it's just going to keep going, hopefully improving. And maybe she'll start challenging her own world records again. Who knows?
An American who... I didn't really criticize at the Olympics, but one who I thought got their tactics wrong was Tori Husk. She has not changed her tactics in anything she does, but it seems to be working now. She seems to have a bit more endurance, and for loads of the she seems to be racing twice a day. It was crazy. Yeah. She did the 100 fly, the 100 free, the 50 fly, the 50 free relays. She was mighty impressive, and I think there's a lot of medals to come out of her in the future for Team America. She will be a superstar come next Olympics.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. And I actually like her tactics of just getting out there, attacking, being in front of that race, maybe giving a disadvantage to the other swimmers being in her wake, if that makes sense. And really, it's just a case of hanging on for that last 20, 15 meters or so. But yeah, I think, what was it, American record in 100 fly? She's just a very good meet overall from Tori Husk, definitely.
And then the top two for me, Molly O'Callaghan, she stood out in a meet where... there were a lot of the Aussies missing. So in her event, the 2-3 and the 100-3, I think normally she wouldn't even have had a chance to race these. Looking at the 100-3, she might not even race it at Commonwealth Games because she's fourth in the Australian team, but she's world champion now.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't like to be the Aussie selectors for that. I mean, she gets into the relay for the 4x1, but then you've got to knock off... You're not knocking off Emma McKeon. She's like the number 100-meter freestyler with Sjöström. Then you've got Kate Campbell coming back.
Yep. And Shania Jack. Shania Jack would have been faster than her had she not broken her hand in what is a... Do you hear the freak accident?
It was in the warm-up or something, yeah.
Yeah, in the warm-up, she got her hand caught in another swimmer's costume and it broke her hand.
Yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it? Ugh, can you imagine?
Yeah. So she's fourth going into commies. Absolutely mental. And then for me, the breakout superstar, the 15-year-old Summer McIntosh. We're going to talk a little bit later about potentially swim of the meet. But if we're saying swimmer of the meet, I think for me, Summer McIntosh was my standout swimmer.
On the female side, definitely. And maybe even both.
I'd maybe go both.
I mean, she's 15. She's still at school. She's 15 and she's world champion in a 200 fly, 400 IM. She went a world junior record in a 200 free on that first leg of the Canadian team, which actually, if I remember, that would have won the 200 free individual as well.
Yep.
So, she is a very special talent, a bit like David Popovich, just very special talents. And they will go, as long as they stay enjoying the sport, of course, they will go a very, very long way.
A really long way. Yeah. There you go then. There's kind of 10 swimmers that stood out for us. There are so many more. We will, of course, go through them. But if anyone has your top five, we'll leave a little template in the comment section on YouTube. We'll give you five spaces for guys, five spaces for the girls. And just let us know what you think. Because, it was just what a week.
Well, it's funny how we were kind of a little bit downplaying it because the main target is Commonwealth Games and we knew America would be good. Yeah, it still is. Titmus wasn't there. Chalmers wasn't really doing it. Dressel pulled out halfway through. So, the big superstars of the sport weren't really there as such.
Future shone through.
Yeah, and yet these teenagers just... Oh, like I said at the start, I just would not have believed the results unless I actually witnessed it with my own eyes. just incredible.
Okay, right. Time to go through this meet day by day. We're not going to dawdle too much, otherwise this could end up being a ridiculous two-hour-long podcast.
Yeah.
But we will discuss kind of the main points from each day. I know we did some really fast recaps on YouTube, so this time it's going to be a little bit more of a debate, a little bit more in-depth. And a chance to discuss each day. So day one then, Dan, the men's 400 meters freestyle, we really kick things off with an absolute showdown between Winnington and Martins. And if I'm honest, Winnington's tactics, which obviously were coached by Dean Boxall, were near perfect in this, and he absolutely baited Martins.
Yeah, honestly, it was a tactical masterclass. I thought that he went out a bit too strong. And, going in, Martins was the favourite because he'd swam a 3:41 beforehand. And you think, okay, Martins is the one to beat here. Winnington took it to him in the first 200. He was ahead. And then, I like the word. He baited him in. So, Martins drew level. And you think, what's Winnington doing here? Like, maybe he has gone out too fast. And then that, what was it, the last 50 metres? Blistering. It was like Bobby Fink-esque.
It was honestly
so good. And that was the first final of the whole meet. I thought, wow, if this continues like this, we're on for something special. That was a really good swim. I'm trying to remember the time off the top of my head. It's 3:41.2, I think. Yeah, which, there's a few sort of rumors, not rumors, but, speculation going around saying, is he on track for this under 3:40, to go faster than Thorpe and Biedemann? It's a long way to go. I mean, it's a second and a half, give or take. But, he looks good for Commonwealth Games. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think I have too much competition in that one at commies.
Not really, no.
Oh. Then we had the women's 400 meters freestyle where Summer McIntosh actually gave Katie Ledecky a competition. And she dipped under the 4-minute barrier for the first time, didn't she?
Yeah, there was a lot of questions I had before this race, whether McIntosh could get under that 4-minute barrier, whether Ledecky could, get close to that world records that used to be hers and now is Titmus's. And actually, they both, even though Ledecky was off that world record pace, she did attack it. It just slipped away from her at the end. But actually, it's McIntosh, again, the swimmer of the meet, who actually, for me, should take all the headlines, being the fourth swimmer ever to go under that 4-minute barrier. And that's not easy to do. And she's 15. I mean, I don't know how many times I've got to say that. She's 15.
15. It's come up a lot on this podcast.
Yeah. So when it comes to Commonwealth Games, obviously it's no Ledecky, but Titmus will take the place of Ledecky. So that'll be another interesting showdown. So we don't see all three of them in the pool again until, I suppose, next Worlds, maybe even Paris. So
maybe even Paris.
It's Worlds next year. So who knows? Another good race. Two good finals in a row there.
Well, and then we had the third probably one of the best finals of the week, where Leon Marchand gets close to Michael Phelps' 400 IM record, and he goes a 404. This is mind-blowing to me. I knew this kid was going to be good going in. We gave our swimmers to watch in a YouTube video, and he was first on my list, writing it up. He blew up in the NCAAs and over in America this year. Of course, he's under Bob Bowman, who is Michael Phelps' old coach. But I'm just going to read you the two splits in this that stood out. A 6,300 back leading into a 10,700 breast in the middle of a 400 IM. Yeah. Special kid. And this world record's going at some point. It's just when. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone questioned whether Bob Bowman is only a Phelps
greatest coach,
then blimey O'Reilly. I mean, he's put a few, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's put it this way. He's the best IM coach in the world, maybe ever, potentially. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it helps that Leon Marchand is able to go a very strong 200 breaststroke. That is very useful. That's very useful on a 400 IM.
He came silver.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That 6,700 breaststroke, no one in the world is going to compete with that. No one in the world. I mean, Carson Foster, he went a 406 and went the ninth fastest ever, and he destroyed him.
Yeah. Tell you what, that was a kind of another point of mine. Carson Foster had a very, very good meet had Leon Marchand not been there. His swims would have popped. The 4 AM, the 2 AM, he would have popped off the screen, but no. It's the Frenchman who pops off the screen. And the Frenchman leading into Paris is by far the favorite in both IMs.
Yes.
I don't know what his ceiling is right now. I honestly don't know.
No, nor do I. And that's what makes it really exciting with how old is he? I think he's just a little bit older than a teenager, maybe 20, 21. He's got Bob Bowman in his corner. He's an IM swimmer. He's just edging. He's just off both really the 200 and the 400 world records. Being in Paris in 2 years' time, oh man. I mean, he's going to create headlines potentially. So watch this guy, because he's just on fire. He's on fire.
And then both relays to end day one, both comfortable victories. In reality, it just shows the depth in both of the nations. The Americans win the men's 4x1 freestyle, and the Australians win the women's. And the Australians doing so without both Campbell sisters and McEwen just shows the depth that they have. In the men's side, though, the British boys, exciting for the future and for Paris. I think this actually could be a medal-winning relay, should they get it right.
Yes, it was a British record, so it's very exciting for Paris and future meets. Again, I've spoken about Burris. Actually, we've spoken about all of them. Tom Dean was exceptional in the last split. He went under 47, if I remember right.
Yeah.
46.9. But yes, I mean, it's very difficult to challenge USA at the moment in that event, because they are just extremely deep. And then we go on to women's. The women's for GB were good. They were quite solid. I think you're averaging about 4:53-ish, give or take. Freya did a good split, 52.7. But the Australians are just miles ahead.
Too far. I think that miles ahead. Was it something like going into this meet, they had 6 of the top 10 in the 100 free?
Yeah, and the 200 potentially as well. It's just ridiculous. It's mad. They know how to do freestyle over there. Let's just put it
that
way.
They do. Okay, then, day two, and we kicked off with I call it the world heavyweight vacant belt. That's what I call it. Adam Peaty's vacant belt in the men's 100 meters breaststroke. I was surprised by this one, not because of the winner, Nico Martinenghi. He is world class. He showed at the Olympics. I actually think he's probably, solidly the third best 100 breaststroke in the world now, quite comfortably. But Arno Kaminga just didn't really show up, and I'm not entirely sure what happened.
Yeah, because he's not actually, apart from he's got Europeans at the end of the summer, hasn't he? So he's not got another meet outside of that. Maybe he's training through Worlds, but that would be...
I think he did pull out later on in the week with illness, but this is the big chance to get that title. No one is when Petey's back, no one's getting that again. This is your biggest chance until Petey retires, really. And it just didn't happen.
He did say in an interview that he would much rather Adam be there, because if you win without Adam, it's not really like an legitimate goal, if that makes sense. So I get where he's coming from, but he's actually spurned the chance of actually becoming a world champion. And Martinenghi has stepped in and just grasped it with both hands. It wasn't a slow time either, like a low 58. That's good for these guys. I mean, it's pretty average for Adam. But I don't know. Maybe there was a bit of illness for Kaminga. Not quite sure. Fink turned up. He actually did attack it.
He looked good all week.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Again, the Americans are good at starts and turns, and he used that to his advantage. But it's Martin Inge with the stroke rate that gets there in this race.
Yeah, women's 100 meters butterfly then, Tori Husk versus the clock. She took down the American record, Dan. Is there a chance that Sjöström's world record goes soon?
She will always threaten it because of the tactics that she has. So I'm going to say, is there a chance? Was that your question?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a chance. Absolutely, definitely. Just because she attacks it and she's just got to hold on, and hopefully she's only 19. So hopefully with a bit more training under her belt, a bit more training blocks, especially with 2 years to go till Paris, I think that's very much under threat. She wasn't far off at all.
Do you reckon Sjöström ever takes up the 100 fly again? Or do you reckon she leaves it off knowing that, well, her Olympic program is the 53, the 100 free, which she is head and shoulders, rest of the world. And she's now got the medley relay as well. Do you reckon she takes this one back up with seeing Husk swim this fast?
It's difficult to tell. It's difficult. I mean, she loves the 50 fly. I think that's her number one event. But of course, that doesn't happen at Olympics. I don't know. I assume the elbow is fixed, fully recovered, because she couldn't do any fly with it, even when it was like half recovered for Tokyo. I wonder if now it's a little bit of a nagging pain, and so the freestyle isn't as heavy on it. I'm guessing here. So would she go back to it? Never say never.
I was surprised she didn't swim it at these Worlds.
Me too. Yeah, it was the first race for her as well, which was, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she was concentrating on 100 free more so than anything else. Who knows?
Caleb Dressel gets his first individual gold of these Worlds, and we later find out his only individual gold because of pulling out for medical reasons. Very impressive gold. Michael Andrew finally gets on the podium for bronze, and then Nicolas Santos at 42 years old becomes the oldest medal winner at a World Championships, beating his previous record of 39 years old at the last World Championships. The guy just doesn't know when to stop. That's, do you reckon he's got all of the Masters world records? I really hope so.
I suspect so, yeah. Why not? I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about Dressel and how he swam that race, and he did win it by a comfortable margin. 0.2 on a 50 is quite a lot. But actually, really, the biggest talking point is Santos, 42. I mean, we keep talking about Summer and David Popovich, and they're like teenagers, but this guy is what? Nearly three times as old as him, which is incredible.
He could be their dad.
He could be. I think he likes doing the short course. So if ISL ever comes back up again, I think he will solely focus on that. And why would you stop? You're the second fastest 50 flyer in the world. Just keep going. And if there's money to be made in ISL, just keep going.
Well, there's money to be made at World Champs for coming second in this. I think you get like something like 10 grand or something. I've done the maths on it. It's an all right payday.
Yeah, I haven't done the maths on that. But if you're getting 10 grand per podium or per race or whatever it is, then it's worth doing it, isn't it? It's doing all right.
The women's 200 meters, I am then. Alex Walsh is just a class apart on this. She is almost as dominant as I've seen since Hosu, but even Hosu had Siobhan Marie O'Connor challenging her. This was... I think she's the next girl to go 206.
Quite possibly, yeah. Like you said, just a class apart. There was no one to challenge her at all, so it seemed. Ohashi was way off it. Didn't even make the final, if I remember. Abby didn't make the final either. Kate Douglas didn't even enter. So she was really by herself. So in terms of competition, there was no one really pushing her, but with the time that she went, a low 207, I don't think anyone would have challenged her anyway.
No.
In the bronze medal position was Leah Hayes, who's 16, another teenager, a world junior record for her, 208, if I remember right. It's a meet for teenagers. But going back to Alice Walsh, she is technically very, very good at every single stroke.
Yeah,
I think I saw there was
a clip
scoreboard
of her backstroke, wasn't it?
And there was a picture of all of her records from when she was like 14, and she had every single record in every single event apart from one. I think it was the 200 free.
It's not bad.
So she's quite good at every single stroke, which obviously helps when it comes to an IM race.
Yeah, very impressive. Another American trained swimmer winning IM. It just, it's the theme of this world, wasn't it? America just win everything. Okay, then, day three, the men's 200 meters freestyle to kick things off. And obviously, David Popovich was the star of the show in this one. New world junior record. He goes a 1:43 low. Super, super impressive. But for me, Britt Tomdene, we'll start with him. I was really impressed with the tactics he did in the final, where he really took the race to Popovic, knowing that Popovic came in as the favorite, having gone a 144.4 in the semi-final. Tom really had to put pressure on him, essentially.
Yeah, I talked about it in my review of that race, actually, where very reminiscent of Huang Sunwoo in the final at Tokyo, where he just went for it and actually, weirdly, kind of the right tactics in that position, because I think he, what was he, lane 7 or something like that. And you've got to go out there just to challenge and give yourself a chance. And that's what Tom Dean did. I think he knew that he wasn't going to have the back end because David Popovic was just a machine this week. Yeah. And he put himself right out there going 49.7 or 49.8, which is mad on a first split of a 200.
It's fast.
It affected Huang Sunwoo in the Olympics. He couldn't come back and couldn't hold it. And it happened to Tom Dean as well. But Tom was able to hold on for bronze. Shows the caliber of a real champion. Because 144.9 is good a year after the Olympics. I actually thought that was a really good time. It's just the problem was that all eyes were 1.5 seconds ahead of him, where Popovic just blew everyone out of the water. It was just awesome. I think, if I remember right, the second fastest in textile suit era.
Behind Yannick Angel at the London Olympics. Something that's been discussed a lot this week, so I'm going to bring it up on this podcast and everyone can hear our points of view. Does he get anywhere near to Paul Biedermann's record? Because there's a lot of recency bias going on saying, Popovic has got it. A second and a bit drop from what was a near perfect race is still a very long way for me. That's still quite far in the distance right now.
Well, I tried to break it down on a review kind of very briefly, where if you're going, let's say you go 50.00 on the first 100, which is rapid as it is already, that means you've got to come back in a 52.00 just to equal the world record, not break it. That's to equal it. Those splits, yes, okay, maybe 50.0 is makeable on the first 100, but a 52 flat on the way back, I'm not going to say impossible, because, you know, things happen. Like, I thought the Phelps world record was never going to happen in the 400 IM. So it's not impossible, but it's a very tough ask to come back really in a 52 tough. Flat or 51.9 to come back in that. I mean, I said in a review, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Popovic, but geez, that's tough.
Right now, I still struggle to get my head around someone going that fast. Just based on the splits that you've just said, he's going to have to go out for me in a 49 point and then hold on, and if not, go faster than what he's just done.
I mean, every time I think about it in my head, it is impossible, but I'm not going to say it is impossible because, you know, things happen. But it's so difficult. That world record, I mean, it's a second faster than the second fastest swimmer Phelps did, basically, 0.9.
Yes.
I don't think it goes for a long, 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 long time, maybe even ever. It's one of those world records, a bit like the women's 200 fly. I just don't see that going either. It's a hard one. So I think recency bias is really a thing here, because Popovic is, I think we did it on the Proportion Swimming Awards last year. Oh, he's a superstar, but I don't know. It's going to be difficult. He's going to have a chance. I think he's going to go 42 point at some point eventually. Which is really very good.
I mean, mind-blowing just to think
outstanding.
That.
Outstanding. Yeah. It's going to be difficult. Never say never, but it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Women's 1500 meters freestyle then. The Katie Ledecky show powers on. She wins her 20th career world's medal in this one. She's behind just Phelps and Lochte. I said in my little recap show, it's just a matter of time until she gets there. It really is. Yeah. Like you said, she's 25. She's got ages left in the tank. She's a four-time world champion now in the 1500. She owns the 13 fastest times in history. No one's getting close to her. But behind was a very fun battle between Katie Grimes and Lani Pallister.
Katie Grimes, I suppose, is the one that's supposed to be being handed the baton, I suppose, or handed the torch from Ledecky. But I just don't see anyone getting close to Ledecky at the moment. No one has for the last 10 years, and I don't think it's going to change for the next 5 years or however long she's going to swim for. 25 years old, like I said earlier. If she goes on till 30, how many more world championship titles is that going to be if it's happening?
Well, they're every year.
So, I mean, she's going to no doubt overtake Lochte, I would have thought, and Phelps with 33 championship medals. That's going to be another she's going to beat that as well, I imagine, because she's going to do the 8, the 15, a couple of relays, the 400, of course, as well. Mm. She's just a legend of the sport. She will be forever known, I think, as the greatest female swimmer ever. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind of that.
See, I would have put Sjöström up in the same bracket, personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I suppose she's got all her medals without her relays, I suppose. That's probably what you're kind of thinking, is it?
Yeah, and it's just to continue her dominance. She is dominant in a 53 and a 50 fly. Like, no one gets close. If you scale up her 50 distances to the 1500, I'll tell you what, we'll do the maths afterwards, but she might be quite close to Ledecky dominant.
Yeah, I suppose the only problem is that you can't really see that on face value, because a 50 is doof doof, and then a 1500, she is literally waiting there for about 15 seconds until the second person arrives. It's incredible. I mean, we're kind of blessed in a way to that we actually get to see her in this era. I mean, it's awesome. It's phenomenal.
Women's 100 meters backstroke then. No Kayleigh McEwen in this one. She pulled out of the semifinals to concentrate on the 200 IM, where she came silver. I think that was slightly a mistake, given that this final was slow for a women's 100 backstroke, where the semi-final it did pop. Regan Smith really blew the doors off in the semi-finals, but this one was all about getting your hand on the wall first. And I think had Kayleigh McEwen not pulled out of the 2 IM, she probably would have.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But I questioned it at the time, like, why you're Olympic champion, world record holder, why would you pull out of this unless you're playing around
constantly
with tactics?
It's playing for commies, I think it was.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not quite sure, but I don't know. Maybe she wants to challenge herself against Alex Walsh in a 200 IM, seeing as though Alex Walsh was the clear number one. But, you know, the women's 100 backstroke, you've got Kylie Mass in there, you've got Regan Smith in there, you're racing the best 100 backstrokers in the world. They're all there. And yet she decides to pull out. For me, it was odd. I'm not quite sure why she did that. But going to the race, slow times, but Regan Smith gets there ahead of Mass. I don't know. I'm surprised that Regan Smith didn't pull it out in the final like she did in a semi, because going off that semi-final swim, I thought the world record might be on shot, but wasn't close.
But something Regan Smith does do, and we've seen this over the course of her career, is just mess about with tactics through the whole meet. She'll change it up consistently. She just changed it up on this one, and this is what happened. She knows for the future, well, for the Olympics is always the goal. So now going into the Olympic cycle, she knows how not to race it, even though she still won.
As long as she doesn't play around with tactics too much and turns into Rapsis, I mean, that would be a nightmare. So
let's not go there. The men's 100 meters backstroke, the first world record of these world championships. Little bit of a surprise name, Thomas Sekkon. He had been performing reasonably well through the other races. He did the 100 fly, he did the relays, the freestyle relays for Italy. He's a very versatile young swimmer, but he blew the doors off the record. A 0.25 under a world record in 100 is massive.
Massive. I mean, I just didn't expect it. I mean, Murphy was right on the world record as well. And I think the reason he got that world record, I mean, there's a lot of talk, again, we'll get onto it, about the backstroke finish at the moment. But he kind of goes, he doesn't sort of like loop up and down like you see on some backstroke finishes. He actually kind of goes quite flat. And I wonder if that saved him 0.1 or, you know, earned him 0.1 just on that finish alone. The underwaters were quite strong. Sekkon is good at the underwaters. His swim speed is quite good. He's quite a lanky sort of guy, isn't he? Very long torso, very long limbs, which of course helps any swimmer, but especially on a backstroke. 51.6. That, I didn't expect that world record to go. Absolutely no way. And not to be destroyed by 0.25. That's amazing. And then USA round off with a 2 and 3 with Murphy and Armstrong. Yeah, that was a good race, I thought.
Women's 100 meters breaststroke then. Pilato finally gets on top of the podium at a Worlds. I feel like she's 17. This has been a long time coming. She messed up at Tokyo Olympics. She's messed up at Europeans, not making it through the rounds. She finally gets her hand on the wall first in a final that the top four was split by 0.14. This was incredibly close. And it's Lily King who just misses out in fourth place.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy for Pilato, to be honest, because she's been caught sort of third wheel, if you like, with Castellini and Carraro taking the audits, I suppose, from ISL. And so she's been kind of third best in Italy. And now she's, medalled in both the 50 and the 100 breaststroke, which leads into Europeans very nicely. I wouldn't want to be the Italian selectors there, because that's really tough as well. But yeah, and that's in Rome as well. Europeans, of course, isn't it? Mm. So yeah, very, very happy for her. That was in the 100 as well, of course, wasn't it? So yeah, quite surprising with Lily King. I mean,
we'll get to that. She got a lot better through the meet, and we found out during the meet she had COVID something like 10 days before coming.
In the lead up,
In the lead up to these world championships. So essentially she was racing herself into form, and it really showed in the 200. Day four then, the men's 800 meters freestyle. Distance swimming is just in an incredible place. The 1500 was so exciting. This one was a battle through the whole field, and Bobby Fink does what Bobby Fink does.
Yeah, and actually got himself an American record as well. So that record's just going to keep on coming lower and going lower and lower and lower. How he does it, it is mind-blowing. And we talk about it all the time. The comms say it all the time. That last 50-meter split is faster than what the 200-meter guys are doing.
Yep.
And he's doing it on an 8 and 1500. What on earth? I don't know what he eats for breakfast, but I want some, because that is some going. I mean, he's holding 25 at the end of the race.
Yeah.
I can't say that without laughing. Like, not believing myself as mad.
It's not a thing. Especially when you think Romanchuk was holding high 28s for the whole race.
Yeah, exactly. Just incredible. Honestly, it's incredible.
Women's 200 meters freestyle then. This one for me was maybe the most disappointing race of the whole meet. I'll say that quite quietly. It was slow. Yeah. There were some massive names missing from this. You had Ledecky not doing it. You had Titmus not there. You had McEwen not there. And this for me was Freya Anderson's chance. This was her chance to get on the world podium. This, I'm not sure it's going to happen again, like an open door opportunity like this, and she comes fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough, I mean, tough to take for me.
At the top of my head, I know another race that was the most disappointing. It wasn't a final, it was a semi-final. We'll get on to that. But the women's 200 was a very, very wide open door for Ferenczi to get on the podium. I completely agree with you. With no Titmus, no Jorge, no Ledecky, no someone else. McIntosh, who didn't race it, and she would have won that individual as well. So there's four swimmers out who would have covered the podium easily, no problem at all.
No Alexiak didn't make the final.
No, exactly. Yes, there's quite a few people that weren't there, so the door was very much wide open for her. She did all right in the semi. She went in fastest qualifier. 156.0 is basically on PB. Might have even been a PB. All she had to do was replicate that, and that would have been a bronze. Really, honestly, unfortunate. I think the race actually played into her hands quite nicely.
Yeah, went
slow. The fact that they were pretty much all level with a 50 meters to go, and you think, well, this is what Freya does. She comes through the field at the end. Molly O'Callaghan, of course, is the best of swimmer doing that.
She's now known for that now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a shame for Freya Anderson. It could be the one and only chance she medals in this race. Never say never again, but the door was open, and it's very unfortunate that didn't quite happen for her, unfortunately.
Yes. Men's 200 meters butterfly then, there was only ever going to be one winner. Christoph Milak wowed the home crowd. I was trying to give a picture of Christoph Milak to my wife, because she doesn't obviously know swimming that well, and she obviously saw all of this crowd attention to him. He was acting like a movie star, essentially, when he was walking around the blocks afterwards. Little bit of showboating, all the rest. I said, essentially, Christoph Milak to swimming in Hungary is what David Beckham was to football in this country. He is that much of a superstar over there, and he shows it. An incredible world record. Tactics I didn't overly see coming from him. Tactics of pain.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I mean, if you're going to go, obviously the target was to go sub 150. That was always the aim. That's what everyone in the crowd wanted. That's why the atmosphere was just absolutely electric. He went for it. I mean, he was, what was he? Over a second under his...
Yep.
Yeah, at the 150. Yeah. At the 150, and you think, oh my God, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. This is going to be incredible. Because the world record was what? At his hips, maybe just, you know, in between his like quads, let's say. And you think, oh, he's got a fantastic chance here. The world record was always going in my mind.
Yeah.
It's just whether he could go under that 150. Unfortunately, he didn't. But still, 0.4 of a PB or world record is massive. Absolutely massive. And you could see in his face afterwards that he was a little bit disappointed, but then realized actually that is quite a good swim. Quite a good swim. The crowd got what they paid for, a world record from their superstar. Seeing as though he's kind of taken the mantle from Hosszú. Hosszú was there, of course, but he is the superstar of Hungary swimming. So, yeah.
definitely. Men's 50 meters breaststroke, then a brilliant three horse race in this one. It's nice to see breaststroke so competitive without Adam Peaty. that won't last very long. Martin Enge went in as favorite, but Nick Fink, the man with the amazing start, essentially won this one from the start.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there wasn't much separating them, mind you. It was, what, 3/100ths of a second? They basically finished at the same time. But because of that start, he was quicker off the blocks. He was quicker on the underwater work. Marcinghi is a little bit faster, maybe, on top of the water because of that stroke rate. But Fink was too far ahead to be caught. And Nick Fink does the gold, which is... I'm quite happy for him. I think he should be rewarded for his amazing swims back at ISL, beating Szymanowicz. I mean, that kind of goes under the radar a little bit. They were awesome swims. And then I think it was Michael Andrew that won the bronze as well. It's just a massive shame that they aren't Olympic events for Michael Andrew that he gets his medals in.
Yeah, but it was weird. He stood out, finally got his medals, but at the Olympics, these ones don't count. So it's a shame.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And then we finished day four with the mixed medley relay. Always exciting. And USA learn from their terrible choices in Tokyo. Essentially, they get it right. They put a man on the breaststroke. That's how you do it. They win this one quite comfortably.
Yeah. I mean, of course, without Adam in the water for us, it was always going to be...
Kathleen.
It's always going to be hard for us.
I say without Kathleen, Mehdi Harris goes a 59.5, which was strong, very impressive considering she was in between two guys and in wash. That is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Mehdi Harris had a fantastic meet, and I think she should hold her head quite high with the way that she swam. James Wilby, again, 58 point. That's solid for 100 breaststroke. I mean, anyone else in the world, if you exclude Adam, that's very good. That's world class. Jimmy, maybe a little bit off on what he was at Tokyo, but I think he's training through Commonwealths. And then Freya went 52.7. It's good. It's a really good quartet, I thought. Yeah. It's just a shame that, you know, America are just a little bit far ahead because they got their tactics right. Who knows what they would have done in Tokyo had they put maybe Dressel on the fly and put Michael Andrew on breaststroke or Fink on breaststroke. Who knows what would have happened. But they fixed a lot of their relays throughout
this
whole mix, actually.
That was the theme, wasn't it? They got all their relays right. Right then, day five, the women's 200 meters butterfly. We'll rattle through the rest of these last days now. Summer McIntosh qualified as the fastest in a world junior record, and she beats Olympic champion Zhang Yufei. Yeah. I didn't overly see that one coming. I thought Zhang Yufei was holding something back, but she didn't. She podiumed on every fly race, but she didn't blow the doors off like she did in Tokyo.
Yeah, maybe it's just a reset year for China. I don't know what else they're targeting this summer. Do they have Asian games? I'm not actually sure. But I don't know. I'm not quite sure what happens to Zhang Yufei. It looks like in a semi that she took it out hard and then sort of rested towards the end or, you know, took it easy.
She
towards
had more
the end,
in the tank.
I thought there was going to be more in the final. Turns out that was actually her limit for this week. But all eyes on Summer McIntosh, who just destroyed the field, really. Honestly, the swim speed is just so quick.
I do have a massive bone to pick with her.
Okay.
Those turns, those starts are truly awful.
Yeah.
They are the worst I have seen from a world champion. Yeah. Especially a fly swimmer who's doing a two fly. How she's going a 205 with one fly kick off a wall and breaking out is stunning. Someone fixed those and I'm not going to say she's going to get near this world record. This world record's crazy. But that's the scariest thing about Summer McIntosh. There is so much to improve. And she's already world champion.
Especially when you've got Reagan Smith and Hayley Flickener who use their underwaters to full effect as well. And it really oh my gosh, they've taken chunks out of her turn, out of Summer McIntosh on that turn there. But then Summer just swims away. So on top of the water, she's fine. I mean, I'm sure she can improve with age generally and development, but just fixing those turns, adding a couple more fly kicks, well, yeah, she can take off a second, maybe 2 seconds, who knows?
Yeah,
just
there is potential. So much more improvement. The men's 100 meters freestyle final, then no Dressel in this one, as he at this point of the meet has pulled out for medical reasons. We don't know why. The man deserves his privacy, leave him alone. In terms of the race itself, very entertaining with the top three split by 0.13. Popovic gets the 100 and 200 double, which I think he is only the second man ever to do that, which is crazy. his winning time was slower than his semifinals. Actually, this whole race was slower than the semifinals. It was a bit surprising. Had Dressel, had Chalmers been there, I don't think he wins it. There is a bit of a theory that he can't yet, because of his slight build, cope with the big choppy water, like at Tokyo Olympics, where he was covered in wash. Maybe he just struggled slightly with that in this one.
I don't, there was a lot of hype around him after that 200, especially.
Yeah, everyone thought the 100 was going.
Yeah, I mean, at 47.1, I didn't think he was going to get... I didn't think he was going to improve on his 47.3 from European Juniors last year for a few years. I've been proved wrong, and actually I'm quite glad about that, because the swim that he did in the semis was incredible. Maybe the theory is correct, and he's very slight still for a 100-meter swimmer, especially. I mean, Dressel and Chalmers are just monsters. They're animals. And if you line all three of them up, it tells there's a huge difference. I don't know. He got the gold, and that's what it comes down to, really.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all that matters, really.
A really big result. I'd love to see the three-way head-to-head between those three, Dressel, Chalmers, and Popovic, when's the next one? Worlds, I suppose. That'll be amazing.
Yeah. The women's 50 backstroke final, the closest finish of the whole meet, with the top six split by 0.16. Just, sorry, what? That's actually ridiculous.
It's just crazy. They all finish.
Just hand out medals to all six of them. I mean, surely there's... Oh, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I'm not even sure any of them were joints the same time either. They are just amazing. I mean, I don't know what else to talk about. It was just a splash and dash. You couldn't see anything on the screen because it was just full of waves and full of wash. And you're just like, oh, let's just look at the clock because I've got no idea who's going to win this one. And it came out to be who won it in the end. It was Mass in the end. So, yeah, I mean, coin flip in the end. Roll the dice. Who's going to win out of the six? Who knows?
This, for me, was an absolute advert of why 50 should be in the Olympics, because it was utter entertainment. Essentially, all eight people, I know we said top six were very close, all eight in this final had a chance at winning gold. And that's what you want from the Olympics. You don't want people going in knowing that they're going to win gold.
Yeah. I mean, you know that Adam's going to win breaststroke, and you know that Milek's going to win the fly. So it loses
it adds
that
some
little
excitement
bit of,
to the program.
Yeah. It loses a little bit of drama, I suppose, if you know who's going to win. Bit like boxing, you know, some people are going to win before they even step in the ring. So it's kind of like, well, why am I watching this for? But at 50s, anyone can win. Any 50, maybe apart from 50 breaststroke because of Adam. But any 50, anyone can win. And that's what makes it exciting. And surely that's why they should be in the Olympics, is the most entertaining races.
The men's 200 meters, I am then. Leon Machard does the double. The third man to do that behind Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte. That is some serious, serious company there. Time of 155.22. There was talk beforehand that he gets close to Ryan Lochte's record. People need to realize how impressive that record is. Yeah. Still a very, very good swim. And like we said, Carson Foster behind him. If Leon Machard wasn't there, he would be getting all of the reviews as well.
Yeah, I think that world record is within reach, but not just yet. We've got a little bit of time yet. He needs to develop, be under Bob Bowman a little bit longer, nail those turns. The breaststroke is there. The fly is there. Just got to work on the alternating strokes of backstroke and freestyle, and then you never know. But that world record is tough. I mean, 54.00 from Lochte is... it's quick. Really, really quick. And again, Carson Foster just goes under the radar, and he went really, really well as well. So, we got to keep talking him up, because he's a future star as well, especially in America, of course.
Yeah, and then we ended day five with the women's 4x2. Like we said previously, Salma McIntosh, her split would have won the individual 200 free. She set a new world junior record. This one, though, I didn't really expect it to be as comfortable for America as it was. Australia produced 200 freestylers like loose change, just ridiculous. But actually, it was Ledecky's split on the third leg of a 153.6, which proved key. Essentially, they won it from there.
Pretty much, yeah. Actually, good tactics, like we've already said, that to put your fastest third is, you don't really see that.
It's different.
Yeah. It's quite clever, really. If you put your team first going into the final leg, I think it was Bella Sims swimming for America. There's almost I suppose there's a little bit of pressure, but there's less pressure on that final summer because you've already got body length lead or whatever, how long it was. Good, clever, really clever from America, and it works out for them. And they actually won it quite comfortably in the end. So I don't think Molly O'Callaghan had the best race in this one. She was much better in the individuals rather than the relays. Again, maybe that's something they need to work on.
Experience.
But it is experience. I'm kind of surprised as well. But America, worthy winners, deserved it.
Day six then, the women's 100 meters freestyle. You said Molly O'Callaghan didn't overly pop in the relays. She popped in this individual. Carl Chalmers is the king of back end speed. We now have a queen. Just incredible. I think in the semi-final, she almost perfectly negative split it.
Perfectly equal split it, I think. Yeah. Literally the first 100, the first 50 and the second 50 were basically identical, which is rare. You're not supposed to do that.
And she comes back ahead of the fast starting Tori Husk and Sarah Sjostrom to, it's a surprise gold. A surprise goal to beat those two.
Well, for me, I think Sjostrom went in as favourite because of the pedigree, because of the experience, because she used to have still does have the world record. And I thought, this is one that she's concentrating on most, maybe outside of the 50 fly, for example. But she just was on fire, Molly O'Callaghan. That back end speed, I think that must be the way to swim 100. I still think you should attack it like Tori Huss does. That's why I really like how she swims. But actually,
Unless you're Australian.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. But they seem to get it right, don't they? They are very good at equal or negative splitting. Carl Chalmers and Molly O'Callaghan seem to be the best at it in the world. And it works out for them just every time, it seems, nearly.
Women's 200 meters breaststroke then. Lily King, we said she was making her way into this meet, racing herself into form. She really did in this one. You say her tactics are questionable. I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because this is how all of the Americans or the best Americans win NCAAs. What they do is they go off fast for the first 100. They step off the gas in the middle, the third 50, which is backwards to anything we are ever taught here in the UK. I promise you, anyone who's listening internationally, here in the UK, you're told the third 50, you attack that. Turns out Lily King does it everything opposite. So she attacks the first 100, takes it off for that third 50, attacks the final 50. It works. Yeah, that works.
It goes back to the Winnington tactic, actually, where he had his third 100 off a little bit. And then she and both of them save themselves the last length and just blitz the field. That's why I said questionable, because it's for us Brits, it's just like, why? What are you doing that for?
It seems wrong.
Once you're at the front, try and stay at the front. Don't let everyone else catch up. Don't let them back in the race. You're at the front. Just stay there. She's always done it. And it's always works. So
maybe some Brits should try it.
Yeah, well, this is what these meets are for. Just have a little play with tactics. See what works, see what doesn't work. You don't know unless you try, do you? But questionable, it works. Good for her.
Back on top of the podium. And actually, it's her first World Championship gold in 200 breaststroke, I believe.
Yeah, so she's now got the 50, 100 and the 200 to her collection, which...
She's the first American to ever do that in the breaststroke.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good achievement, isn't it? That is good going.
For some reason after Tokyo, I'm pretty sure she started targeting the two. I don't know whether she thinks there's more longevity in her career in the 200 than the 100. It seemed to be her focus there, and it seemed to be her focus again at this meet.
Yeah, it seems like she seems to be doing better at these distance. Well, I say distance, 200, the longer events, more so than the sprints. Even though she's still finaling in both the 50 and 100 and actually getting close to the podium, and especially in the 100, she's still world record holder in that event, mind. But I don't know, maybe there's a bit more opportunity in the 200 where she can actually, perform
open doors.
Better. Don't know. Yeah, not sure. Interesting.
The men's 200 meters backstroke, then this was a battle of the underwaters, essentially. This was a showcase for Dolphin leg kick. It was a battle between two Brits, two Americans, and in the end it is two Americans on the podium either side of Luke Greenbank.
Like you say, it's just the underwaters. So I've already said Ryan Murphy's underwaters were probably the best I've ever seen from him, and maybe the best underwaters outside of Phelps, outside of Dressel, that I've ever seen. He was destroying people on the underwaters, like half your body length, maybe even more off every turn.
And Luke is not shabby at underwaters, nor Shane Cassis, as he's won NCAAs on his underwaters.
Yeah,
they are
exactly.
Good swimmers.
Yeah, and he's taken them to town every single time. So yeah, he's just very, very talented. I mean, when he was doing NCAAs himself, he What was he? I think he won like 4 or 5 years straight in all the backstrokes.
It was like 4 years straight. Yeah,
it was ridiculous either way. But yeah, he's still the one to beat in the backstroke events, I think, even though Rylov is the Olympic champion. But I think this bodes well. I mean, we said about it about Luke, but I think it bodes well for Brody. Honestly, I do. I think he needed this race to now realize, actually, I am within touching distance of the podium, guys.
He is a 200 backstroke swimmer.
Yeah, well, we've said this for a long time.
Yeah,
he qualified for Tokyo in his 400 iron, but we said, I think that 200 backstroke, that is the one. And he's proven us right. Thank you, Brody.
Yes, a very exciting future. And obviously, you've got Commonwealth Games coming up where him and Luke will be against Mitch Larkin in that one. But both of them should really get on the podium and challenge each other for England. Exciting to see what he does there. Very much a breakout summer.
Yep.
Men's 200 meters breaststroke then. Zach Stubblety-Cook. For me, this was, we said in the build-up, the Commonwealth Games is the target for a lot of swimmers. This was the race that showed this. His tactics were weird, man. They were really odd. He just sat on everyone's feet for the first 150, knowing that he's a world record holder. He could blow the field away, and he just went on the last 50 and just did enough to win. This was a case of him playing about for the Commonwealth Games later on this year for me.
I mean, he did blow the field away on that last 50. I mean, how long?
But it was just odd. His time wasn't even fast at the end. You're thinking a 2:07 for him. That's pedestrian.
2:07.0. So he's a good second off his world record that he did. What was it, in May for the Aussie trials? Weird one. We talked about Lily King's tactics where she goes out fast and then comes back fast on the last 50. But actually, it appeared that Zach just took it easy for the first 150 and then decided to go. Mm. And even then, because of this taking easy that he did, he was still level pretty much with the rest of the field.
Mm.
Odd. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. But it kind of bodes well that he's got the back end speed. He's just technically very, very good. The timing's good. The long stretch that he has, the glides, the everything is very, very good. I think he goes a world record in Commonwealth Games. I do. I think he breaks it again.
Ooh.
Not by much, by like 0.1 or 2 or something like that. But I think he does it again because he just looks good. He's got the confidence now. You can kind of see when he finishes the races. Like,
well, if you're messing about with a world championship final, quite like he messed about with it, you've got the confidence.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's more to come from him. Watch out in Birmingham, I think.
Yes. Men's 4x2 then, this was very much door wide open for other countries to get the gold ahead of the Brits and the Olympic winning Brits because of no Duncan Scott. And then you think Jimmy Guy was slightly off form. Matt Richards slightly off form this meet. USA win this race. I'm not going to use the word dominant like you've written in these notes because I was slightly offended by Drew Kibler's comments after the relay where they won gold, where they wanted to continue the 4x2 dominance that USA swimming has had. And I would politely say that you haven't won worlds since 2013 before this USA. And the last time you won the Olympics was 2016. So that's 6 years ago. I didn't like the use of the word dominant because they're not. This is by far and away a redemption from their mess up at Tokyo. Yeah, sure. Redemption, fine. But you've not been dominant in this event.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I use the words, just because I wanted to talk about this, because it's they aren't dominant. Yes, they've just won worlds. Okay, that doesn't make you dominant. You haven't destroyed this race. I think over Olympics, maybe, sure. Okay, that's fine because of Phelps helped. Lochte,
yeah, but that was
helped,
years ago.
I'm sure, but that was ages ago. yeah, they're not really dominant at the moment. Maybe they will be, who knows? But as of right now, the GB lot are by far and away the best at 4x2, especially when we add Duncan in and have our top swimmers going the best times like they did at Tokyo.
Should we talk about these Brits then? Because they set a new English record. Jacob Whittle goes a 1:46.8.
That's good, isn't
it? That was surprise of the meet. No one even had him penciled into the team, let alone swimming that in a final. You said when we reviewed the British swimmers, now he is definitely a relay backup for that 4x2.
I'd say so.
And Tom Dean goes a 1:43.5. 1:43.5. That's
I remember,
the fourth
I remember right.
fastest
the
four relay fastest. Split.
Yeah, four fastest. That is going some. And even then, we're buzzing about a 1:43.5, and David Popovich goes faster than that on a standing start, which is mental. But going back to Team GB, I think this bodes really well for our heat swims. I mean, Joe Litchfield going a 1:47 he was always capable of that.
Why you can now rest, guys.
Why we don't put him in a heat swim? No idea. No idea at all. Yeah, I mean, we can put Jacob Whittle in, we could put Joe Litchfield, maybe even Max Litchfield. He can go a 1:47, I'm sure he can. And then we can rest Tom, we can rest Duncan, and then a world record. Well, it's going to be ours, I would have thought, if we're all our big guns are rested. Just, and Matt Richards, he needs to come back to form, obviously. He's obviously training through to commies. The future is very bright with this team. I think we are going to... Are we going to destroy the world record? We get it, I think. Maybe not destroy it, but we get
careful
it.
careful with the words based on just what I criticized America with. Yeah, no. What I will say, funny. I'm really excited for Commonwealth Games in this one because it is basically a rematch of the silver medal winning Australian team and the bronze medal winning, it was GB, but it will be England. So it's essentially a rematch of this race, and that one is going to be close and it is going to be exciting. So Commonwealth Games, looking forward to that. Right, Absolutely. Day seven then. The women's 50 meters butterfly. Sjöström wins her fourth straight world title in the 50 fly, dips under the 25-second mark. Her swim speed is the fastest in the pool, as it has always been. Just, she's a superstar, Dan. I don't think we need to say too much more.
Not really, other than the world record, I don't think goes. That is just a phenomenal world record.
It was wind-assisted, wasn't it?
Something crazy, but she went a low 24. And she just went a 24.9 and... I wouldn't say.
I'm pretty sure it was an outdoor swim, wind assisted.
Yeah, it definitely helps, doesn't it? That's what they sell on that 100 meter sprints with in athletics, don't they? It obviously helps. I don't think that world record goes, but she is just dominant in the race. We talk about Ledecky dominant in the distance races. She is in the 50 fly, and I think will always be until she retires.
Yep. Men's 50 freestyle then, the first gold of these championships for Ben Proud and Great Britain. Very much deserved by Ben. He's one of the nicest guys in the pool from what we've heard. A fascinating backstory as well. If anyone wants to take a deep dive into that one, I would suggest you do. But he wins in a 21.32, which again, massive, massive swim, super fast. I'm just glad he put Tokyo behind him and redeems himself here.
Well, I was a little bit nervous when he came seventh in the 50 fly. I thought he's going well here to potentially upset Dressel in that race. Maybe definitely medal. I thought he was definitely going to medal. And the fact that he finished seventh, I mean, nothing went right in that race. And then he got it completely right in this 50 freestyle. The start was awesome. And he held on to that water really nicely, finished fast. Of course, there's no breathing on the 53. And 21.3 is good. Really, really, really good.
Do you know the man doesn't even train to breathe? Like when you see all the videos of Ben Proud swimming, he swims with a snorkel because he literally doesn't train to breathe.
Yeah. Well, why would you? Your races are to keep your head in line with your body. Why would you turn to the side to breathe? That's pointless. You're not going to do it. So why would you?
I saw some comments on our YouTube channel which said, why doesn't Ben race the 100? That's why. Men's 100 meters butterfly then, loudest cheer of the night as always for Christoph Milak. Does the double, was never in doubt. Slightly surprised he didn't go under the 50 second barrier, but with no Dressel there was no competition really, so it didn't drive him on faster, and he does win by 0.8 of a second. It was a long way.
He just destroyed everyone again, didn't he? There's only two solid, I say solid, everyone in the pool was solid at 100 fly in that final. But when it comes to the elite of the elites, there's only Dressel and Milak in the 100 fly right now. They are head and shoulders ahead of everyone else. And I think he likes that little bit of, I don't know,
He needs the competition in the 100.
He does. He needs a little bit of pressure on him. And I think that he doesn't get it in the 200 fly from other competitors, but he's put it on himself to get the world record. I agree. I thought he would have gone sub 50, but it wasn't to be. Again, the field wasn't strong enough for him, I suppose, and it never will be at the moment.
The women's 200 meters backstroke then. This final was... the final was so much more exciting than the semifinals. The semifinals were garbage, honestly.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you said that the 200 free finals, the most disappointing race. The 200 back semis for the women. Oh, my word. What
took a 2:10 to make this final. 2:10. That's poor.
I remember this happened for the Olympics as well. I mean, you could see the Top Guns just drifting coasting. Into the yeah. What on earth? Just is there no depth? The top guns are the top guns. The top five are amazing, or top six, or whatever. But then outside of that, there seems to be no real. I don't know what it is, but it was very disappointing semis. But the final definitely lived up to expectations anyway.
It really did. Kayleigh McEwen caught Phoebe Bacon on essentially the last stroke.
It was the last stroke, yeah.
Exceptional yeah. race. Yeah, For me, I was a little surprised by Kylie Mass not really showing up in this final. She goes a 208. I thought she'd be much closer to these girls, but they end up going a 205, I believe, in the final.
Yeah, she was better at the sprints this meet for some reason. So unless she hasn't done that extra little block just yet to be good at 200, unless she is just targeting the 50 and 100 at commies, don't know what to tell you actually. But for me, it was a race of the underwaters against the swim speed, and they were basically the same sort of time, weren't they? But the last stroke, like you say, Kelly McEwen just got there.
Women's 800 meters freestyle then, again, just dominance from Ledecky. She goes fast. She goes a faster time in this one than she did at the 2017 and 2019 Worlds, and 4 seconds faster than she went at the Tokyo Olympics for the fifth fastest time of all time. Just stats galore for you there. Her move away from Stanford now to the program at Florida, where she's training with the men, she's training with Bobby Fink.
Yeah.
It's working. It's working, and I'm so excited because you said she's 25. She's got a long career ahead of her still. It could have got stale for her. Things over the past few years have not slowed down, but her times weren't blowing her previous times out the water. I'm excited. Well, I'm excited again for the future of Ledecky.
Yeah, I mean, she's still winning by large margins.
Oh, yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
But in terms of times, like I think the 800 she did in... when was it? Rio, was it? 8:04? It's just a ridiculous time. And to get within 4 seconds of that world record again, it's like, well, she's on her way back here. Maybe that little bit of a difference setting to be... You can't train with any females for Ledecky because there's no one to challenge her. You got to go with the guys. So I think it's a really good move. It's clearly working for her. The biggest takeaway for me was actually Lani Pallister. We've talked about she was out with COVID, but actually it was the other Australian with Kia Melverton taking her place effectively from the outside lane. And just she did well. She hung on for silver in the end ahead of Quadrella. That's a big scalp to take, that one. Yeah,
that is. And then we finished day seven with the mixed 4x100 freestyle relay. Kyle Chalmers in this one, super impressive, man. Why weren't you swimming the individual?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the answer. Did he do any individuals in the end?
He did the 150 fly and didn't get out of the heats, I think.
Yeah.
But he's just messing around and having fun with swimming, and he gets a world record to his name.
Yeah, madness. I mean, he seems to drop these 46s at will at the moment in these relays, and no one can get close to him. He's charging past them on the last 15 meters every single time. Doesn't matter who you are. He is the fastest on top of the water on the last 15 meters, and he gets a world record as well. Just amazing. I can't wait to see what he does in Birmingham.
Yeah, and this team has so much more to add to it when you think of the girls that are missing as well.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Although I don't think the mixed 4x1 isn't a Olympic event yet, the freestyle one. It's just the medley one an Olympic event.
It is at the moment.
And the medley one for me is a lot more exciting.
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Right, final day then. We're there, people. Thank you so much for sticking with us as we power through this. The men's 50 meters backstroke, quite possibly the most controversial moment of these whole games. Fina, what are you doing?
Yeah, what on earth?
I have no problem with you DQing a swimmer. I have no problem with you reinstating a swimmer. These things happen. You make judging mistakes. Do not give out the gold while there's an appeal going on. Well, that bit is farcical. It's absolutely disgraceful, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I was watching your recap and I sort of add notes for you as well. And I was like, I'll leave that bit to you because I will go off on one. And I'm trying to hold back a little bit here, but it's embarrassing. What, I don't know, shameful, all sorts, disrespectful to Justin Rest because he got awarded his gold and then had to do a lap by himself around the pool.
It was just weird.
What on earth? It's madness. Hopefully it never happens again because a complete mess, a shambles. I'm going to stop talking because it's mad. Yeah.
My issue here is that is very amateur from a very professional sport. The swimmers that compete at these world championships put a lot of hours into our sport, more than probably any other sport on the planet. And everyone who's listening knows what hours swimmers do. To then be run by an organization which this is how you represent them at the world champs, by doing an amateur mistake like awarding a medal while a review is taking place. Probably yeah. just because they didn't want to mess up the TV schedule. If I'm honest, that's probably what it was. Is a joke. Justin Ress, this is his moment. He's world champion, and this is all we're talking about. It is a massive shame. Hunter Armstrong, when he got his gold, was disappointed for Justin Ress. He was just like, I know he shouldn't be DQ'd. I know he's probably getting his gold medal back. Why am I being awarded this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could tell in the interview afterwards.
Yeah.
The interviewers were questionable. That's another talking point.
I left that off.
but you could tell from Hunter Armstrong, he was disappointed that Justin got disqualified because clearly...
It just wasn't what was clear.
It was for diving under the water on a field. Yeah.
And then the fact that they haven't released any footage of it still at this point so far down the line shows that it was so debatable.
Yeah,
just finds. I think. Should we just move on?
Well, hopefully, it doesn't turn into football where they review every goal, and hopefully, don't review every race, because you could see at the bottom corner that video judging review, and like, what are you reviewing now? Surely it has to be noticeable to the naked eye, or you know, the underwater cameras on the breaststroke pullout. That's obviously the big talking point at the moment. But you don't need to review everything.
No.
So yeah, let's move on.
Women's 50 meters breaststroke then, possibly the happiest moment. We go from the worst moment to the happiest moment. Ruta Militite gets back onto the top of a world podium 10 years after her 100 breaststroke gold at the London Olympics. She beats world record holder Benedetta Pallato into the silver medal position, and I don't think there's a more popular person on top of the podium in British swimming.
Yeah, no,
she's loved around here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant swim from start to finish. She's always quickest off the blocks. The reaction that she has is absolutely amazing. Yeah. And then she was just able to hold water. You could see Pallato coming through a little bit towards the end, but she held on. Absolutely. So happy for her.
Yeah.
Honestly, so happy for her. 10 years after that Olympic gold, and you think she's done it. She's completed swimming at the age of 15, you know, winning Olympic gold. And that was a world record as well, I think, when she won it as well. And she comes back 10 years later and she's just done this against the world record holder, who was definitely favourite to win this one.
Yep.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Men's 1500 metres freestyle, Dan. I'm just going to say Paltrinieri and just leave it at that. I'm not going to leave it at that. For me, this was... For a sprinter who has long loathed watching a distance race, this was super exciting, and I take my hat off to you, sir. He attacked it from the absolute get-go and essentially took Bobby Fink's finish out of the equation by the 100-meter mark. He has gone.
Pretty much, yeah.
He went.
Yeah, I love the fact that everyone in the crowd, it doesn't matter which country they were from, we had like Instagram stories from the British swimmers recording the race as it was going on, because everyone knew something special was about to happen here. He was at one stage 3 seconds underneath the world record for that 1500, and you think, just hold on, come on, you're
well, he was, I don't think he was going to get the world record.
No, I know, but you're cheering him on anyway, aren't you? Because just awesome. I mean, this is what the 1500 or distance swimming should be all about anyway, because the 50s can be over in a split second and there's nothing really to cheer on for. But if you're on for something really amazing that he was, then yeah, it gets the whole crowd going. And arguably, it was a better atmosphere than when Milak was swimming, arguably. Just amazing.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Women's 50 meters freestyle then, Sjostrom versus Wasik, who Wasik is obviously the out and out 53. That's all she does.
Yeah,
Sjostrom's just so fast. Her finishing speed, her swim speed, it just blew Wasik away. And she wins in the end by 0.2, which is a very long way in a 50 meters freestyle.
That's a long way. Yeah, she hasn't got the best of starts, Sjostrom. Actually, she's quick off the blocks, but doesn't have the most powerful underwater kicks. Again, no breathing, of course. But then she just, I don't know, she builds it up. She builds a 50, which is... baffles me every time I think about it, but she does. She gets quicker as the race goes on, and the other swimmers can't handle it, and she wins every time. 24.1, wasn't it? Oh no, sorry, that was Wasik's time. 23.9. That's good. That's good, isn't it? That's quick. Good. Very good.
And we finish the individual finals with the women's 400 meters individual medley, where it is essentially a show of the future of swimming. Summer McIntosh, the 15-year-old, just holds off the 16-year-old Katie Grimes. I actually thought Katie Grimes was going to get there in the last 5 meters.
So did I.
Again, Summer McIntosh underwater's non-existent. She sets a world junior record in the process, but I'm really excited to see how these two girls now battle it out for the future, because there is a serious rivalry to be had there.
I hope so. I hope so. It's a little bit when like Hosu and Siobhan O'Connor had their little bit of a rivalry when they were swimming. The difference is that these girls are 15 and 16. This could go on for over a decade.
Very long time.
So I'm just looking forward to it. I really are. Got to have a shout out to Hosu. Will this be her last hurrah? There's nothing official come out just yet, as far as we're aware anyway. She came fourth. Fourth in a world final. At the age of whatever she is. No, nor did I. She actually really put it out there, didn't she? It's very strong breaststroke leg. I think that went under the radar just because we were watching the top two. But hopefully this rivalry will continue for a long, long time.
Then we finish with the two relays, the men's 4x1 medley and the women's 4x1 medley. A superb head-to-head between the Americans and the Italians. And it is the Italians who deservedly get their hand on the wall first and get their first ever gold in a relay at the World Championships. They had, what did they have? They had the world champion in the 100 back, the world champion in the 100 breaststroke. Then you've got Badisso on the 100 fly, who is not shabby at all. And Marezzi, who actually for me is one of the best relay swimmers in the 100 freestyle around. On paper, I actually had them winning this to start with.
Well, that's the thing. You look on paper and you think the Italians should really be definitely like medal positions, definitely on a podium. And you think actually they should be winning.
Yeah.
And actually they did. I'm very happy with them. Amazing. I mean, it helps when Sekhon's gone a world record earlier on in the meet. So they're always going to be pretty much at the front anyway with Ryan Murphy. Martin Enge definitely helps on the breaststroke leg. And then Badisso and Marezzi brought it home for them. In fact, Marezzi came back. I think they were a little bit behind with one.
I think he baited Ryan Held. We've been saying it all meet. There was a few people who were using some very fun tactics. The first 50, he let Ryan Held go past him comfortably and then came back on him.
Quite possibly.
I thought that was full of confidence there.
Yeah, I think the Italians are going to be ones to watch out for Europeans. Mm. Whether we can get a little bit closer when we get Adam back in the pool or Duncan or... the question is, does Duncan get back in the team? Or does Lewis now just stay in?
You had Tom Deem race this final.
Well, yeah. There's three jostling for one place there. Whew.
Well, that's a good place to be in. The GB boys get a very deserved bronze in this one.
Yeah.
Really impressive to end the GB meet, especially when you're missing PT and Duncan Scott.
It
was a good bronze. The women's side then, and it was America who wrap up their world champs with another gold. Dan, I'm just going to read the stats of this American meet to you. The previous record of medals won at a world championships by a single country was 37. USA at this meet hit 46 out of a possible 126. So over a third. But just what?
Mental.
Sums up their meet. They won this one, and that's the cherry on top of the cake.
Yeah, I think Jameson was saying that basically they've medaled in every race, effectively.
Pretty
much every race, something like that. Just madness. I mean, we always knew that America were going to be doing well at this meet because they don't have anything else after it. But to go from 37, which was their record in 2017, and almost add 10 on, is that's a big achievement. They should be very happy with that. Just awesome. Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a run through day by day, if you're still with us, of the World Championships 2022. Dan, it was a superb World Championships in what we thought was going to be a down year for swimming with Commonwealth Games, with so many competitions going on. Now, before we end this podcast, I am going to get you to give me, just straight out, no debating, your race of the meet. Just give it to me.
Oh, boy.
Just one.
So many.
You can only give me one.
I really enjoyed the 1500 meters men's Paltrinieri. That's the one that sticks in my mind the most. Honestly, it does.
Nice.
Yours?
I will go the men's 400.
Yeah, that's another one as well. That was special, wasn't it?
I didn't see anyone going that fast for a very long time, and it's another Bob Bowman swimmer.
Yep. Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
Okay, so that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. It's been a long one, but there was so much to talk about. And thank you so much to everyone who has joined us through the whole thing. If you have enjoyed this episode, why don't you give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? 5 stars is always preferred. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we will be putting out loads more content ahead of the Commonwealth Games in less than 30 days' time. Dan, I will see you in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for staying with us, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.